For our meditation tonight, let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 1. We are going to read a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 1, which is from verses 19 to 46. It's a long passage, but it is good for us to read it so that we will be clear about what it is all about. Before we read it, let me just give you a brief kind of an overview of what this this is all. Just before the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land, God through Moses made it clear to the people that they needed to know what happened in the past. അവരുടെ പൂർവികമായ കാര്യങ്ങൾ എന്തൊക്കെ സംഭവിച്ചു അത് മനസ്സിലാക്കാനും ആൻഡ് അവരത് പിന്നെയും ആവർത്തിക്കല് ആ ഒരു ഉദ്ദേശം വെച്ചുകൊണ്ട് വിത്ത് എ ഡിസയർ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ഷുഡ് നോട്ട് റിപ്പീറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഓൾ ദെയർ ഫാദേഴ്സ് ഡിഡ് അത് വെച്ചുകൊണ്ട് മോശ ഈ ഒരു ബുക്ക് ഓഫ് ഡ്യൂട്രോണമി നമ്മൾ വായിക്കുന്നത് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് ബേസിക്കലി സംതിങ് that Moses spoke. In the Moshe, it is a word of Moses about his instructions from God. Deutero means second law or a repetition of all that happened. So all that we see happen in the first three books or the first four books is actually repeated in the fifth book so that people should be clear about what happened and for the express knowledge and for their instruction that they should not repeat what has happened before. Somebody has said something like that a wise man is somebody who understands the mistakes of others and does not repeat the same mistake. ഒരു റിയലി ഒരു ബുദ്ധിമാൻ എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ മറ്റേവരുടെ പ്രോബ്ലം കണ്ടുകൊണ്ട് യു ഓൾസോ ഡോണ്ട് ഗോയിങ് ടു ദാറ്റ് സെയിം പ്രോബ്ലം ഡോണ്ട് ഗോയിങ് ടു ദ സെയിം സിറ്റുവേഷൻ സോ വെൻ മോസസ് ഇസ് ട്രൈങ് ടു എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ഓൾ ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻഡ് ദ പാസേജ് ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ റീഡിംഗ് ടുഡേ ഈസ് ആക്ച്വലി ടേക്കൺ ഫ്രം ടു ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദ ബുക്ക് ഓഫ് നമ്പേഴ്സ് നമ്പേഴ്സ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 13 ആൻഡ് 14 വാട്ട് ഓൾ ഹാപ്പൻഡ് ഇൻ ദോസ് ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് മോസസ് ഇസ് സിറ്റിംഗ് just at the brink of the promised land and Moses is telling them in his own words thanda sonda vakyam kondu Moshe ee karyangale parayna oru samayam aanu nammal kaanana he is saying about it so ivide nammal vaikunnathu and I don't want to read all the passages but it's really a very interesting way how Moses is speaking to her, to the people of Israel so in verse number 19 so we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites as the Lord our God had commanded us and we came to Kadesh Barnea and I said to you you have come to the mountains of the Amorites which the Lord our God is giving us look the Lord your God has set the land before you go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers have spoken to you do not fear nor be discouraged and let every one of you come near to me and said let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back a word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come that the plan pleased me well so I took 12 of your men one man from each tribe and they departed and went into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out they also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and they brought back word to us saying it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us nevertheless you would not go up but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and you complained in your tents and said because the Lord hates us he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us where Can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people are greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to stretch out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way that you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry, and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before me, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. The Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain. And the Amorites who dwelt on that mountain came up against you, and chased you as bees do, and drove you from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, and the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh for many days, according to the days that you spent there. It's a tragic story. It is a wonderful beginning, but a tragic ending. Many times, we all like stories to end very nicely. We like the end part of a story that says, and they lived happily forever, or they entered the promised land, or we all like that endings. But this is a sad ending of a people of God. You know, as we think about it, I want to speak for a few minutes about on the topic called entering our promised land. I want to give some very good exhortations from this, so that we will also understand how we can enter into our promised land. When we go back into the history, back in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham in Genesis 12 and said, get from your father's house, to show I will take you to a land which you have not seen, and I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to everyone around you. This was God's promise back many years ago. Close to more than 500 years ago, God promised to their great father Abraham. That was why Abraham, in obedience, we know that he came out in faith. And because he obeyed the commandment of God, every moment of the time, God was renewing his covenant to his son Abraham. Many instances, I don't want to go into the details, but when you come to chapter 15, when you come to chapter 22, when you come to chapter 28, every point of time at different stages, God was renewing his covenant to Abraham, saying that, look, there is a land that I have for you. I want you to go and possess that land.
That was the reason why Abraham started on his journey. And now we know that Abraham reached there, and then God renewed his covenant to his son Isaac, and then again God renewed a couple of times, at least two or three times, to his grandson Jacob, saying that I am going to give you that land. But we know that it was the plan of God. Because of a sacrifice that Abraham made to God, there was a curse of God upon Abraham that said that your descendants will be going to Egypt, and they would be there for more than 400 years. That was a part of because Abraham did not do exactly what was required in the covenant that he made with God. And so we know that the Jacob's children and Jacob, they went to Egypt. They served. Initially it was good. It was good time for them. But then there was a time when there was a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And he came up and he tortured. He exploited the children of Israel. He made them slaves. He made them miserable. And then according to God's planning, God got them out of Egypt. We know about that. Why I'm telling you all this is because God wanted the children of Israel to go and possess the land. When you read the Bible history, it was about within 12 days that they reached the brink of the promised land. You know, on the same year when they started with the 600,000 people, with such great miracles, they reached the trip of the promised land, and that is where this story comes here. And we see that, you know, there are, we know the story. They chose one person from each tribe and they said, you go and spy out the land. So these 12 spies, they went into the land, they spied that places. They found the land was very good. It was very fruitful. They brought grapes back. They bought pomegranates back. They brought figs back. They said it was a land of plenty. It was a good land. But then 10 out of the 12 spies did not believe the word of God. They said, even though it's a good land, it is a very, it's a tough thing to go and fight there. It is a tough thing. Let us not go up and fight. And so, basically what happened was that, we know that these people, they turned the hearts of the children of Israel away from really going and possessing the land. Tonight, I from this passage, there are three things that I want to point out to you. If you have your Bibles, just look to these verses. I want to speak about the commitment that God had made for the children of Israel. You know, these children of Israel were never supposed to get this land out by their own strength or by their own might. It was a gift from God. God said, you go because I am giving you that land. It is a gift from you. You just go. See, so I want to speak about the commitment of God. When you come to verse number 21, number one, the first commitment part of what God was that God had set the land before them. God already placed the land for them. He placed the land and then he promised that it is for you. I am giving it to you. It's a gift from me. It was a gift of God. So the first commitment of God, it was a gift of God that God was giving that land. What kind of a land was that? Verse number 25 says, it was a good land. It was a fruitful land. You know, in my English Bible it says, they took some of the fruits. In another passage, when you go back to Numbers, we know that the fruit was so big, one bunch of cluster of grapes, two men had to carry it on a stick because it was such a big. I've seen grapes all my life, but I've never seen a bunch of grapes where two people will have to carry it on their shoulders. It was such a big bunch of grapes, right? So it was a fruitful land. So second thing is, number one, God's commitment was that I am giving you that land. Number two, that land is going to be fruitful. Number three, it is a good land. Look to verse number 25. It says, it was a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Every time, I want you to underline that word giving. God is giving that land. We don't have to strive for it. God will give it. But we have to believe that He is giving us that gift. And we have to go and take possession of that land. So this was the second thing. Number third, the most beautiful, I don't know if you paid attention. If you turn to verse number 30, to verse number 33, there are some other promises about the commitment that God gave to the children of Israel. Number one, He said that God will go before you. God will go before you. You know, before you reach the place, God will go before you. It is like a advance party that makes sure that, you know, the everything is taken care of. God says, I am going to go before you. That is the third one. The fourth is, He says, God will fight for you. You know, if God fights for us, why do we have to worry at all? God says, I am going to fight for you. You don't have to worry. You have to take my word because I am going to fight for you. When God fights on our behalf, we know that we can never fail. Because God can never fail. He is an all-powerful God. How can God ever fail a battle when He is on our side? So God says, I will go before you. Number two, He says, I will fight for you. And then it says, He tells them, He takes them to a step back and lets them see how God cared for them throughout their wilderness journey. You know, how did God care? Verse number 31, it's a beautiful verse. It says, in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. See the concern, the protection, the help of God. He was carrying the people just like a father carries his son. You know, what a wonderful protection and providence of God. He was carrying them in the past. They only had to look in the past to see how God was carrying them and taking care of them in the wilderness. It says, how did they carry? Verse number 31. Your Lord God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way until you came to this place. Which means for 40 years, God was carrying you like a man carrying his son. So the Lord was carrying you. So God is telling you, look about the faithfulness of God in the past. Look in the past. He has carried you and He has taken care of you. And then in verse number 33, it says, not only all of that, but He went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tent. Look at the concern and the care of God and the providence of God. God would go before them, not only to fight for them, not only to protect them, but also to search out the place. Look for a place like an advance party and make sure that they have a right place to pitch their tents. To show that where you go. And God's presence was always with them. In the night, He would be like a pillar of fire. They can never miss out. He would be like a pillar of fire in the midst of their camp. In the day, He would be a pillar of cloud in the midst of them. Day and night, God was there with them, protecting them, being their help, being their companion, being their protector, being their guide, and carrying them on His shoulders, and leading the way, and being the scout party, going before them, looking for the way, so they would He would fight for them as well. Look at the God's commitment for His children. What a wonderful God that we serve. Hallelujah. Now let me go to the second part of it. What was the responsibility of the people? First was the commitment of God. Number two, what was the responsibility of the Israelites? Look at verse number 21 back here. What did they have to do? They had to go and take possession of what God has promised. It's just like, for example, you know, you have signed in a house, you have signed in the legal forms, you are given the key. What you have to do? You have to take the key, go to your home, open the lock, and take possession. That's all you need to do. Everything is done for you. This is all God said. Go and take possession. This is all what the people had to do. So first one is that they had to go and take possession of what God had promised. Number two, in verse number 28,
When you look to verse number 28, the second thing was that, let's say verse number 27 onwards, you know what, and verse number 28, you should not focus on the obstacles that are there. Don't focus your attention on the obstacles that are there in your path. The problem with these people is that instead of turning their eyes on God, they turned their eyes on the obstacles. They looked at the people, it said they were greater and taller. The cities are great and fortified. And we also saw the sons of Anakim. You know, don't focus on the obstacles. Focus on the on God, on His might and on His word. That is what they had to do. They should not have focused on the obstacles. Number third, in verse number 29, it says, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. What God was saying here is that, be courageous. Don't be scared. I am there with you. Need to have that fortitude in your heart to obey my commandment and move forward. And this is what God had wanted. Do not be courageous and do not fear. And then in verse number 32 and 33, what they had to do was, they should have remembered the faithfulness of the Lord in the past. How He took care of them for the last 40 years. They should have remembered the faithfulness of God. And then they should have trusted God that He is He who has taken care of them in the past is able to take care of them in the next phase of their battle. God has been faithful. Not 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. How has He been faithful? He was faithful to protect them. He was a pillar of cloud so that the sun heat will not stretch upon them. In the night when it would get cold, He was a pillar of fire to provide them the warmth and the heat and the light in the midst of that darkness in the wilderness. He would provide them manna in the morning. He would provide them water. He would provide them, the birds would come and sit by their in front of the tents. They would be provided with the food. Their clothes would not wear off. Their sandals would not wear off. They had everything. They had the law. They had the commandments. They had the leaders. They had everything that they required. And all they required was remember the faithfulness of God. So this was the responsibility of the people of God. But you know what happened? Look at what really happened. And this is a lesson for us. Look at what happened to the people. In verse number 26, they did not believe God. Honestly, they did not believe God. Even though God had never showed to a group of people so many signs. You know, when God took them out of Egypt, He did not take them out with one sign or two signs, but 10 plagues. Why? So that they would believe on the power of God. He took them through all this, but then we see that they did not believe God. Look to verse number 26. He says, nevertheless, you would not go up because they did not believe in God. You know, they were unwilling because it was an act of rebellion against God. They were rebelling against what God really wanted them, which was to possess the land that He had promised to them. Number two, not only they rebelled, number two, verse number 27, it says, they complained. They grumbled. In fact, they had everything, but they were still complaining. You know, we have to be very careful that we do not do exactly what these people did. They complained. They grumbled. And they said, you know, God is hating me. That is why I go through these problems. God hates me. That's why they said, because the Lord hates us, He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us, to destroy us. What a foolish statement these people were making. Did the Lord hate them? They did not remember that they were crying out to God because of how Pharaoh was making them to work for nothing. He was making them slaves, but he said, now they are saying, because God hated us, you have brought us here. What a sad story here. And then in verse number 35, what was another consequence of their unbelief? You know, they never possessed the land that God had promised them. It's a warning for us. Verse number 35, what it says, except
two people, Caleb and Joshua, these people who started the journey and walked for 40 years in the wilderness, they never possessed the land at the end of their journey. What a sad, sad story. They never possessed the good land that God was in. Not only that they did not possess, in verse number 40, it says that they wasted about 40 years wandering in the wilderness. You know, they were just going round and round in the wilderness because God wanted to teach them a lesson, and God wanted everyone who complained and everybody who rebelled to die so that they would never enter into the promised land. And this was the consequence of their unbelief. And finally, let me come to the last part of it. When they understood that they did not do the right thing, what they did, they tried to do a self-effort. They tried to get into the land by their own strength. They were not trusting. God said, now you turn back. When God told them, you turn back into the wilderness, they said, no, we are going to fight now. So they armed themselves and they were ready. And even though Moses said, don't go, God is not there with you, they said, no, we will go. By our efforts, we will fight because we have done that in the past. They went and fought. What happened? We see that they were defeated. And they came back. They were chased like bees. Like bees would chase somebody. They were chased. They failed miserably because they would not do the thing that God had told them. This evening time, I just wanted to bring to our attention, you know, these, why are we reading these stories? Because they are an example for us. You know, they are always an example for us. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to close within a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when Paul is giving us a reason about the Old Testament, why we should look to the Old Testament in chapter 10. It says, Paul is saying that, you know, these people were very much like us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that they also did the same thing that we are doing. They also got baptized. We have entered into our spiritual journey after getting baptized in water. They also got baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They ate the same spiritual food. What is the food? The food that we are eating, the word of God. They also ate the heavenly manna that time. They ate the same spiritual food. They also drank the same spiritual drink. What is the spiritual drink we are talking about? The gift of the Holy Spirit. They drank the same spiritual drink. But, the rock that followed them was Christ. Christ was with them at every stage. But then in verse number 5 it says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. And their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Tonight, you know, let us understand a fact. If we do not do what God requires from us, we do not really have faith in the word of God, if we do not act according to how God wants us to do, let me tell you, it is going to be a tragedy for us. Let us never imagine, you know, 600,000 people besides women and children started for a promised land. Only two people could go in there among that 600,000 people. Can you believe that? And so we should understand that this is an example for us. We should also not do what they did. We should not complain. We should not lust. We should not become idolaters. We should not tempt God. We should not complain. And that is what we should not do. So, as I bring this short exhortation to a conclusion, I just want to say that we also have a promised land that God has promised for us. You know, we are on a spiritual journey, a journey that is called life. And every day we are walking on this spiritual journey. And there is two ways how we can react with circumstances. When problems come against us, when difficulties come, when there is a time we need to move forward, we can react as the Israelites did, with unbelief and complaining and disobeying God and rebelling against God. Or like Caleb, it says he wholly followed the Lord. He followed God. We can be like that. Like Joshua, who would not depart from the tabernacle. Even though Moses was out, Joshua would remain in the tabernacle. He would be close to God's presence. Like Caleb, who would not listen, even though 10 people said, no, we will not go. Caleb said, my brothers, let us go and fight because God is giving us. And he was a man of faith. Let us take that example in our lives. You know, every day we also get an opportunity to show whether we trust God or whether we do not believe in God. I want us to understand that we need to trust God more than anything else. His word that he has given in the word before us. Let us believe the word. Let us act upon the word. Let us follow the word. Let us do what God wants us to. And you know, when we do that, whatever he has promised us, one day we are going to receive it. Can we close our eyes tonight? Before God's word, in the Ratri Kalam, Devatina Vainum Bhage, let us close our eyes. Let us learn from the children of Israel. You know, they lost their gift, the promise that God promised to Abraham, because of their disobedience and unbelief and rebellion and not trusting the word of God. Let us not be like that tonight. Let us trust in that God is the one who can really give us what he has promised in our life. I know in many of our lives God has given us precious promises. Don't be disheartened. God will do it. He is faithful. He who has promised, he is going to faithfully do it in our lives. Tonight, let us surrender ourselves before the word and the counsel of God and say, Lord, I am ready. I am ready, Lord. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. I am ready to trust in you. Father, let me trust in you more. And let me make a decision in my life as I am making. Let me trust in you, Father. And let me move and walk forward in the steps that you have shown. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless us with this word.